So maybe if you want to just start off by introducing yourselves to me and telling me about your association with Greenwood.
I'll go ahead. I'm Rebecca Fisher. I play in the Kiara String Quartet, and I was a camper at Greenwood for 5 summers, 2 summers at what they call Kitty Camp, which is for the younger kids, and then 3 summers at Big Camp. It was kind of my dream to come back to Greenwood in some form. Greenwood is such a special place, and so it's just very special for us to be, the Kiara Quartet is quartet in residence here. Very special for us to be teaching here. This is our 3rd summer teaching.
Yeah. My name is Jonah Sirota, and I'm the violist in the Kiara String Quartet. And I also, like Becca, was a student here for 4 years, only at the senior camp from 1990 to 1993. And then I was also a counselor for 1 summer. I believe that was in 98. And then with Becca and the rest of the Kiaras, we've been in residence here over the 5 weeks of the summer for the last 3 summers. Use it. We do a lot of teaching while we're here. We also rehearse on our own, and we use it as kind of a home base for the summer to do, you know, to drive to other concerts and stuff that are usually East Coast, so not too far away.
And did you guys know each other at camp, or were you different times?
Yeah, we've actually known each other for many years because our parents are friends, so we kind of grew up together like cousins, and then, you know, we end up being a string quartet together eventually. We actually never played together here when we were at Greenwood, which is kind of strange because we knew each other really well, but we were never put in a group together, so it was just, you know,
fate that we ended up. Rebecca was more popular than me, so.
No, that's not true. It's not true. It's not, it wasn't like that.
So can you maybe just give a brief explanation of what it means to be a quartet in residence somewhere? Is it teaching or what's
involved? It can mean many, many different things. And actually, as a quartet, we have 3 different residencies right now. We have this summer residency, we have a more or less full-time teaching residency during the year at our sort of home institution, which is the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, Nebraska. And then we have a visiting teaching residency at Harvard University starting in the fall. So they all are completely different. What it basically means is that we're around and available. You know, at Greenwood, we're essentially like any of the other faculty here. We teach private lessons to the students of our own instruments, and we each coach a couple of chamber music groups every week.
And what about your time that you spent here as campers? What does that mean to you sort of in your professional development? Did it play
That's
a role?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I think I can speak for Joan. I think for both of us, this place was the place that inspired us to go into music and to do chamber music. It's kind of hard to describe what Greenwood is to people who haven't been here before, because it's this kind of unique combination of being in high school, which is this really impressionable age where you're experiencing this music for the first time. So there's this like excitement and joy at learning Mozart Quartet for the first time, doing Bartok for the first time, whatever. And then also really bonding so closely with the people around you, eating great food, sneaking out,
there's
doing all the things.
Again.
Food keeps coming up at this place because the cook is really spectacular here. But this kind of community and, you know, people running around without their shoes and that kind of thing. I mean, there's a kind of community here that really doesn't exist in a lot of other places. And the kind of friends you make here, you really have for the rest of your lives. And you make them so strongly because you're not just, you know, meeting them as friends at camp. You're also playing this intense music with them, having these really, you know, sort of soul journeys, if you want to call it, with this music with them. And for the first time, too, usually pieces are not repeated by the same campers ever here. So there are all these sort of new experiences, and so I think that kind of bonding with the music and with the people is really what made both of us want to go into chamber music.
Yeah. Do you mind if I add to that? Because, you know, I can remember a very specific experience here, which was a turning point for me in my decision to pursue a music career. It was playing a late Beethoven quartet. It was the slow movement of Beethoven's Opus 132 string quartet, which is an incredible movement. Beethoven wrote after nearly dying of illness and recovering, and he wrote it as a thanksgiving to God for his recovery. And the music in this movement, I mean, I anyone listening should, you know, run out and buy this movement and listen to it, because it's just there's I don't think anything else was ever quite written that expresses that kind of thanks so clearly. But to be learning that as a high school kid, and not only that, I mean, we were being taught on this, but so much of what you do here, and I think what the students do, I should say, what I was doing then, is really self-motivated. I mean, you're really trusted here to do the work yourself. You have that coach who meets with you once every other day, and you have a lesson. But otherwise, you're deciding with your group, you know, when to rehearse. You're deciding how much you need to rehearse. And I mean, I had an experience where we had to figure out, you know, what this music meant to us. You know, music that some people have said, you have to be 40 to play this music with any understanding. You know, I mean, this is, you know, old person's music, and you have to have loved and lost and all this stuff. And, you know, as if teenagers don't know about that, you know, as if they don't ever experience any of that. I don't know. I think it's really life-changing. And I also think there's an incredible sense of relief for a lot of these kids, as we have felt, because they have such a strong love for what they do. And most of their friends at home may not understand that. So there's this real feeling of like, wow, we found soulmates, you know, and it's really exciting.
Are there other like little camp hijinks things or typical kind of?
Oh, well, this place, because it's been around for so many years, definitely has traditions of, you know, there's charades is that what you're talking about? Basically that kind of thing. Yeah, there's charades, there's the capture the flag, you know, you go all over camp. There are things like that. There's
the big treasure hunt.
There's the DA, like they do
a murder. These are like organized games, and then, you know, there's a pool, and there's, you know, pickup games of soccer, but there's not like scheduled, you know, athletic time or anything like that.
No, it's like somebody says, who wants to play soccer tonight? You know, it's a free night, and then everyone ends up sort of going around, and other people practice, other people sit around and talk about life or whatever. So it really is, as Jonah mentioned, very self-motivated. Things are kind of, although these games are kind of fun, and these are, you know, this happens fourth week, this happens third week, and then of course the food also has this tradition to it. Okay, we always have this food, you know, at this specific time, and of course the music has those kinds of traditions too, like they always play Shostakovich Octet, you know, third week, and yeah, that kind of thing. So there are certainly some traditions, but I think you need that to hold on to, that kind of structure here and there. And the time is structured in the sense that, you know, you have certain blocks of time that you do, you know, sing every other day and orchestra and that kind of thing. And the chunks of time are blocked off, but the way you use it is often very creative and hopefully up to you.
And actually, you know, one thing that maybe isn't totally obvious here is that there is a real life motivation to get with your group and try to put these things together, which is that no matter what piece you're playing, I mean, every week, Monday morning, you're given a new piece of music, a movement of a piece. And no matter what, Saturday night, that coming Saturday night, you will perform it in front of an audience of over, 150, almost 200 people now.
Yeah.
So that's a huge motivator, you know, especially for kids that are, this is new to them. It's like, wow, okay, it doesn't matter whether we're ready or not, we're going on.
And they're playing for their friends, which is the most exciting and, you know, also motivating factor too. I want to play great for my friend, you know. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something I'd love to talk about a little bit, which is the idea of competitiveness, because the fact that that this is a, you know, it's a small place, and the getting in as a student is very difficult. There's one of the things that Deb, who's the camp director, Deb Scher, has always insisted on, is that, you know, once you get in, you're welcome to come back until you're at the age where you're not supposed to anymore. So people will come back 4, 5, 6 summers. And that's great for the people that have gotten in. It also means that the number of slots every year for new people is very small. And as word has spread about the quality of the music making here and the intensity of it, it's become more and more popular. So there'll be many, many applicants for one slot, for instance. So in that way, it's very competitive. But once you're here, that is really... to say it's thrown out the window is not fair. I mean, of course, people are like, oh, I want to be in a good group, I want to have good people that I'm working with, etc. I don't think there's anyone here now that isn't good. So it's sort of like that's almost not an issue. But moreover, the spirit here, and I really do chalk this up to the director and the faculty, is so much about supporting one another. If you ever have the chance to hear a concert, it's amazing. Every group, and we had a friend visiting us this week, and this group came out to play, and people were screaming just before they even started playing. Just the kids were screaming. And my friend said, well, those must be really popular kids. And I said, well, you know, I guess. And then another group came out. There's more screaming. And she, over the course of the night, she's like, I guess they all just support each other no matter who they are. And it really is like that. It's like the most, you know, you might, you know, cliques might start to form. But then the next week, different people are playing with different people again. And new friendships, new bonds get formed. And it's like you ultimately start to really care about how everyone's doing. And it's very amazing that way.
So are there pieces that you play now in the course of your professional repertoire that you're like, oh, that was, you know, my Greenwood?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's great. Actually, even this summer, you know, there are a couple of things, we've played that, you know, I played then, or, you know, someone played. There's a very strong bond with a movement that you played at Greenwood. Doesn't matter. And it's always really exciting to kind of experience that, and that, you know, the slow movement of Opus 132 that Joan is talking about is one of the pieces we are most excited about working on very soon in the future, and you know, because it's a great piece, but also Jonah had such an important experience here with that piece, and I think that kind of intensity and bond towards that music doesn't go anywhere. I mean, it just builds upon itself. The kind of things you learn here that you explore later in your life were formed here, so that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.